All right, guys. I'm gonna have to bear with me on the learning process of editing and publishing and recording these podcasts. In doing the third podcast, I kind of accidentally put it in the same file as the second podcast, and I honestly can't figure out how to separate them on Anchor. So I am just gonna upload them both together, and hopefully you enjoy both videos in this one podcast.
Excuse our zoo going on in the background. We have dogs and cats and other animals running around everywhere.
Welcome, altruists,
truth seekers,
conspiracy theorists,
and nut jobs alike.
My name is Haven.
My name is Kay.
And I'm Maddie. And let's get right into this.
This is the second part of our Epstein series, and we just wanted to start it off with a bang.
Have you heard or do you know of the several reasons why Epstein chose New Mexico? We hope not, because we would love to elaborate, being from New Mexico ourselves, and then throw out some theories ourselves and others have potentially connected Epstein to.
Excuse our zoo going on over there. We got two big old dogs and cats, and they're all playing together.
Okay, let's begin with Zero Ranch, Epstein's 8,000 acre, $28 million ranch. His ranch is about 30 miles from Santa Fe, the state capital, and includes a 30,000 square foot mansion, a private airstrip, a log cabin, outbuildings, several other homes, and a yurt.
Several facts important to remember. New Mexico never required Epstein to register as a sex offender. Epstein invested in theoretical physics, eugenics, and cryogenics, and those are needs that New Mexico met very nicely for him. And Epstein was also interested in the Trinity site, which was 111 miles from Zorro Ranch, and where Gadget, an atomic bomb, was detonated in 1945.
Bill Richardson, a former governor of New Mexico and also a U.S. ambassador to the United Nations and energy secretary in the Clinton Foundation, and who was also logged in the Lolita Express logs, lived in Santa Fe about 23 miles from Zorro Ranch.
We're back. There were also several Catholic churches hiding pedophile priests and some of the local parishes and attempting to cure them. A few years ago, a ton of lawsuits came in saying victims were not notified that a sexual predator was present in these churches, forcing New Mexico's largest diocese to close and file for bankruptcy. The last one of two of these pedophile priest treatment centers was in Jemez Springs, New Mexico, near a small reservation and located 50 miles from Zorro Ranch. Sounds pretty convenient.
The area is absolutely beautiful, but where the treatment facility or whatever was located is kind of creepy, not gonna lie.
Yeah, it really is. It's kind of convenient for him, too, being that close.
80 miles from Zorro Ranch is Tramontina Base, a vaulted bunker owned by the Church of Spiritual Technology, an elite order in Scientology that maintains L. Ron Hubbard's body and his words through a pretty intense archival system. I wonder if it's gonna hear him just screaming back there.
I hope so.
I love it.
As we've stated, Epstein was obsessed with cryogenics, eugenics, and theoretical physics, and several of his victims stated he did ask them for children, and often spoke of seeding the human race with his DNA. New Mexico was basically a gold mine to him. It had several things going on that really maintained his interest. And it really did. There was so much, I know, studies that I would see going on there that I would see posted about New Mexico discovering this or something about that.
He was really interested in the Santa Fe Institute. He donated to the Santa Fe Institute a lot.
Yep. New Mexico has been ranked among the lowest out of all 50 states for education, for livability, for poverty, and for quality of life. And on top of all of that, New Mexico has a super high crime rate, especially in the aspects of murder, drugs, and violent crimes. And that is very true. And a lot of unknown crimes that no one even knows about, because no one fucking knows about them. What can you say about it?
Epstein's victims often spoke about how he preferred young girls with hard upbringings that were vulnerable and either exposed to violence, drugs, or prostitution. And so New Mexico is somewhere where he could easily pick his victim type. I mean, there's tons of girls that fit that exact MO. In Albuquerque alone, that's not even including the towns around New Mexico.
Yes, yes, there's tons of... it. Just going through Albuquerque, if you were to ever pass through it, you could definitely just see it yourself. Just people everywhere. Homeless and everything. When you look at his property, first off, it's huge. He has a giant stone wall lining one edge of his property called the Creston Petroglyphs with an antique Santa Fe train caboose on raised railroad tracks. Side bit of information. When we drove out there, we lost cell reception the whole area around the ranch up until like way past the ranch.
Yeah, you have to drive past his property and onto what we believe is the next ranch in order to get cell reception again.
Straight up, though. Yeah, it's the weirdest shit. Epstein at one point applied for a permit to build a private grass strip one way on the land that he was leasing out. When they approved it and told him inspectors were going to come out to the land,
he... Inspectors.
Yeah, I say inspectors, didn't
I? I swear I heard prospectors.
Well, if I did say prospectors, I meant inspectors. Prospectors. As soon as they came out, he found out that they were going to come out, he withdrew his request and decided to build it on the land he owned outright instead. Just to add in, we're from New Mexico, and of course everyone has their own experiences, but a lot of people are raised with the mentality of you didn't see anything and you don't say anything. It's usually a pretty safe bet that people on the land of enchantment would rather handle things themselves than involve the police. That's true.
Yep.
Think of New Mexico as a hive, and this one, sick little cell in an entire hive of secrets.
We hope at this point that you have a more in-depth understanding on why Epstein chose New Mexico, and that our research experiences and input have enlightened you on why Epstein was so invested in New Mexico. We ended our last video asking you if Epstein was toting these underage children around so publicly, and if these lawyers, politicians, news anchors, and business owners knew of or were involved in this, what were they doing behind closed doors? Why did they make such a fake, awful cover story about his suicide, and what were they trying to conceal? Would you put murder past them?
So, ourselves and several others definitely don't believe it's out of the realm of possibility. In fact, if you're local to New Mexico or familiar with it at all, you probably are familiar with the West Mesa murders that took place near Albuquerque from 2003 to 2005. Although they weren't first recovered until 2009 by a hiker and her dog. The murders included 11 women and a fetus of one of the women who was pregnant.
When you do an initial Google search, it says these murders occurred from 2001 to 2005. And Epstein's life for these times in 2001, Bill Clinton was getting removed from office from his Monica Lewinsky scandal. And in 2005, later in the year, in early 2006, he was getting investigated for a sexual assault on minors. So initially, we're excited thinking how crazy it was to align with these timelines right off the bat. But when we began our actual timeline comparisons, the first victim in the West Mesa murders wasn't actually reported missing until 2003.
We have no idea where they came up with 2001 because, yeah, the first girl, the first victim in the West Mesa murders was not missing until 2003. So we have no idea where 2001 comes in.
Yeah, it's very strange.
It's actually also really hard to specifically link Epstein to the West Mesa murders, which we had a bunch of people request us to do, and it's really just not possible.
Yeah.
When you compare his flight logs to the times the women went missing, mm-hmm. and it's impossible to really compare it for several reasons. First and foremost, even comparing all of the years that matched for the murders, Epstein had more personal aircraft than the Lolita Express, and he flew several ways.
Yeah.
Second off, some of the women who were murdered weren't reported missing until months or even a year until after they had last been seen.
So, we're going to go through and tell you about the missing victims.
Marie, they're missing now.
Or, yeah, they're not missing now. But when they went missing. Maria Candelaria was the first disappearance. She was reported missing May 11, 2003, and last seen near a drug and trafficking area in Albuquerque. She was 21 years of age. Then there was Doreen Marquez. And she has two conflicting reports on when she was last seen, but she was filed as a missing person in October of 2003 and was 27 at the time.
Victoria Chavez was last seen in early 2004, but wasn't reported missing until March of 2005. She hadn't been seen for over a year already when the report got officially filed. She was 26 at the time. It's crazy. Whole year.
Yeah.
I just don't understand how that happens, I guess. How is someone missing for a whole year already before it even gets filed? That's just mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, it really is, though.
Veronica Romero was reported missing on February 14th. She was 27 and reported missing by family. Then there was 15-year-old Jamie Barella and 27-year-old Evan Salazar, and they were cousins last seen walking to a park together, and they were reported missing at the same time on April 3rd, 2004.
And then there was Solana Edwards at 15 years old. Was last seen in an area known for prostitution in Aurora, Colorado, although she was reported missing from Oklahoma in 2003. Virginia Cloven was reported missing by her father 4 months after telling him that she was going to move in with her boyfriend, and she was never seen or heard from after that.
Solania Edwards' case in particular really bothers me because she was 15 years old when she was reported missing in Oklahoma, and she was last seen in Aurora, Colorado. It's theorized that she was prostituting up the I-40 interstate. 15, though. How? I just don't understand exposing children to these kind of things.
Yeah, I really don't get it either. I don't get how baby pedophiles like that actually do that to children.
Straight up.
So this one is really strange to us. Cinnamon Elks, 32. She was last seen getting booked into the Metropolitan Detention Center, not leaving or getting discharged, last seen getting booked into the detention center. That was in July of 2004, and her mother is the one that reported her missing. And that is very strange. They have no surveillance or video of her coming out of the detention center at all, or any documentation of her getting discharged at all, which they always have that. That's something that happens every time someone leaves a prison or jail, anytime. You have discharge papers and shit like that. It always happens.
Yeah, we looked for about an hour for anything saying anything about her release or anything like that, and anything we could find all said she was last seen getting booked into the detention center, so.
So who took her out of there?
I don't understand how that is her last being seen.
Although we weren't able to positively link the West Mesa murders to Epstein like we had a few people request, we do still feel that Epstein in some way may be associated with or have known about the West Mesa murders, because it's also widely theorized in New Mexico that the West Mesa murders were a result of a human trafficking operation. And of course, Epstein is a huge human trafficker, especially in New Mexico. It's important to remember that all but one of these girls, the 15-year-old cousin that disappeared with her older cousin, she's the only one that was not linked to drugs and prostitution out of all of these victims. So they were already on some level used to human trafficking or exposed to human trafficking. They were familiar with it at minimum.
Yes. So we want to tell you the three most disturbing things to us about this case is, first and foremost, Michelle Valdez was 4 months pregnant when she was murdered. Second, that there has still been no arrest for the murders. There have been suspects, but even then, it's not even concrete evidence against any of the suspects. And finally, the West Mesa Memorial site is primarily about the dog and the owner who initially found the first set of remains, instead of honoring the 12 lives lost in that small 100 meter square.
Like, I understand absolutely being grateful to the woman who found them, but there's literally just, like, headstones throughout this memorial, and it's really sad because you don't know anything about these girls. Like,
it doesn't tell you anything about them either.
It doesn't tell you that most of them had kids that they left behind, or that they were caretakers, or anything about them at all.
No. Even though we couldn't positively correlate Jeffrey Epstein to the murder specifically, we absolutely don't believe that he didn't either have some knowledge or participate in these murders via his human trafficking operations. It's so apparent that his sexual assaults and rapes have continuously been swept under the rug and lied about time and time again. For those of you who are going to say, oh no, he only liked kids, he had victims up to the age of 26 and 22. Ghislaine Maxwell and Epstein were raping and sexually assaulting 25-year-old women just the same as their 12- and 13-year-old children. So, it wasn't just kids.
Yeah.
The theme of our last video was essentially, was Epstein's suicide an awful attempt to lie to the general public, and was it to conceal something? What were they trying to hide with it is basically the question of the last video. And the theme of this video was basically, was Epstein or his human trafficking operation linked to the West Mesa murders or any murders that pertain to human trafficking all across the U.S.? I mean, how far did his reach go? He was obviously deeply invested in three specific states, but how far did his reach go?
So, we've been doing hours upon hours of research, and we have not even scratched the surface of these deep, dark cover-ups and lies. New Mexico failed the victims of the West Mesa murders. New Mexico failed in ever having Epstein register as a sex offender. New Mexico consistently fails victims of sexual assaults because of the lax laws on these offenders. One of the biggest failures of New Mexico was not launching an investigation into Epstein, even though during his 2008 trial, he had victims stating he was regularly flying them to Zorro Ranch. And this was during his Palm Beach trials in 2008, whenever he was first originally being investigated. Not even the one where he killed himself. So it's ridiculous that New Mexico never opened up an investigation on that.
Yep, that's kind of New Mexico for you, though. They've been helping out.
Or even filed charges for it or anything like that.
Nope.
There's literally a thing that's an insider New Mexican joke that New Mexico's the place to get away with murder. You're the least likely to be caught or investigated in New Mexico. And it's messed up, but it's kind of true.
Yep. Really is, though. Really is. The human trafficking industry globally is worth around $150 billion a year. And here in New Mexico is failing to pass laws to make harsher punishments on human traffickers, even as recently as fall of 2020. When victim advocates propose new laws, judges in New Mexico... The human trafficking industry globally is worth around $150 billion a year. And here, New Mexico is failing to pass laws to make harsher punishments on human traffickers, even as recently as fall of 2020, when victim advocates proposed new laws. Judges in New Mexico also consistently release violent and sexual-based offenders with no thought to the victims or if the perpetrators have been rehabilitated at all.
If you guys are wanting to get involved and do something and be a part of the change that needs to happen in New Mexico, you can totally write your local judges and courthouse. You can start petitions. You can peacefully protest. You can write some emails and make some calls to your state representative. You can make some educational posters or just do something to bring awareness to the issues at hand, because that's where it starts. So many people are unaware of these issues, and that's why nothing gets done about them.
And a lot of the judges allow it too, so that's really a big problem. They release a lot of offenders and it's okay.
The Victoria Martins case, if you're familiar with it, is a perfect example. Fabian Gonzalez is walking free with his children right now.
Yep.
That's all we have for this part of the series, guys. Thanks for staying tuned.
Stay kind, stay educated, stay questioning everything. Hope to see you next time.
Please share with your conspiracy theorist and nut job friends, and like and subscribe to the video if you're feeling generous.
I like that shit.
Welcome, altruists,
true seekers,
conspiracy theorists, and nut jobs alike.
But you've thought about going out here because you hate working 9 to 5, you're aware of the impending societal collapse. We just want to live a healthier lifestyle in general. Any of these appeal to you, it's not mine. Here are our 10 reasons why we think you should go off grid.
Reason number one is obviously the freedom. This is one of the biggest advantages of going off the grid. You can live in a van, you can live in a camper, you can backpack across the country, you can live in a yurt. I mean, not everyone that goes off grid has a giant sustainable house with green energy and a giant garden. You can really do whatever you want.
So, number two, it lowers stress and anxiety. You don't have to deal with shitty people most of the time because you're doing everything at your house. And hopefully there's not too many shitty people there. And not only that, but you're not having to worry about utilities or food or things like that because you're growing it. You're growing it and you're creating it yourself. So you don't have to pay those bills. And you're also not having to work around scheduling on work because your work is at home and that is your schedule.
Going off grid is better for your health. You're training a very sedentary lifestyle for a very active and adventurous lifestyle. If you like to grow your own fruits, herbs, and vegetables, then you have access to foods that aren't chemically altered or processed. And if you also like to hunt or fish, which is kind of necessary in certain areas, and that's also a very accurate activity as well.
It reduces your environmental footprint. Going off grid is typically linked to using less power and using renewable energy, and it's also linked to producing less waste and recycling regularly. Use
the reusable water bottle, not the plastic one. Use a reusable one.
You're going back to your roots. So you have to relearn everything all your ancestors did, like hunting, fishing, crops, and gathering food, and things like that, things that nobody does anymore. And you also have to learn about nature. You have to become in one with nature, simply. You have to learn about native plants and non-native plants and how to create symbiosis with it. You just have to learn and go back to our roots.
Preserve knowledge.
Aren't they beautiful? Look at this. Look at these devotees. Beauty. We also run a plant channel.
Check out a plant channel.
There are a shit ton of ways to make money not working in 9 to 5. What fruits, herbs, and vegetables you're growing? And then sell it. You can also make jerky, dried herbs, soaps, tinctures, lotions, do-it-yourself furniture. You can start a YouTube channel. You can do localized fishing lessons. You can do fucking custom goddamn fuck up.
Anything. You can really do anything, honestly. You can. You
can do a podcast, which we are also doing. So if you don't want to see us doing all this stupid nonsense stuff, you can totally go listen to our podcast.
You can reload and sell ammo. You can do farmers markets. You can, I mean, there's literally like a million freaking options.
I'm trying to knit for money, you know?
DIY art.
Fun stuff.
This is a dragon fruit, so it will produce
that is a fruit plant.
It is.
So.
Just like there's a shit ton of ways to make money, there's a shit ton of ways to save money. When you source your own water and use renewable energy, it pretty much eliminates grocery costs. When you don't drive to work every day, it eliminates the gas cost. And when you grow, forage, hunt, and fish for your own food, it eliminates grocery costs. So, and if you decide to tent or backpack or live in a yurt, you don't have a rent or mortgage either. It's just a really great, great experience.
Yeah. You know, it's also
thank you.
Well.
You know, it's also a statistically safer lifestyle. You know, not only are you out of the city already, so already your life, the crime rate drops. So, but also, who's gonna fuck around? But also, who's gonna fuck with? Fuck. Got you. No, let's go. But also, who's gonna fuck around on private property so far out of town with posted signs up? I don't see people doing that.
Running off grid can help you live longer if you're smart. Of course, being physically active and eating healthier can into a healthier lifestyle, but it also reduces your risks of stroke, obesity, heart diseases, and other ailments and diseases. Living a healthier lifestyle is living a longer life.
And of course, we save the best for last. In case of a, you know, zombie apocalypse or an impending societal collapse. Or
did you jump?
Yeah, he almost tried to.
An impending societal collapse or really any type of scenario where shit hits the fan, you're like 10 times more likely to survive if you know how to do all of the shit required to go off-grid. If you don't know how to maintain an edible garden, hunt, fish, forage, do all of these things, you're probably not going to last long in an apocalyptic situation.
Thank you all for watching our video. We hope you enjoy it and share it with your nut job and conspiracy theorist friends.
Comment future video requests and like if you like this video.
Have to give a shout out to Bugs, Rogue, and Remy here.
Isn't he adorable when he's not trying to jump?